You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Rose Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Well, it's an honor to be here. It's an honor to be in this wonderful city, in this wonderful area of Michigan, of Texas. Hey, praise God. Didn't mean to insult you so soon in the sermon. It's an honor to be here. It's an honor to be behind this holy desk. And Debbie and I have been celebrating, we're celebrating 28 years of marriage. Seven children, all Spirit-filled, full of the Holy Ghost, all serving in the ministry. And our two sons-in-laws are, they're coming around. Oh, they're saved too. One of them's my associate, praise God. And, we don't preach sermons. We preach lifestyles, stuff that works. And we've been doing this a while. And I found out about God as he's past finding out. And we just have a great time with God. It's an adventure. How many know it's an adventure with God every day? Isn't that right? Praise the Lord. But you're all celebrating 25 years of ministry. What an awesome beginning. You've not plateaued. This is not a destination. This is a launching pad into another realm, into another level. How many believe that? Because what can happen is, Pastor, is that people can arrive and say, we've arrived 25 years. Look at us. I'm telling you, this is just the beginning. Amen. This is a whole new deal. Praise the Lord. Amen. Y'all have your Bibles? If you don't, just steal your neighbor's. No, y'all have your Bibles, right? Ephesians 4, please. Hallelujah. Now, as you're turning there, I want to be talking about some things here that are very important. I got a few minutes with you, and a lot of stuff on my spirit. I'm telling you, for this church, I just, like Pastor said, when I met the Williams, they just met Miss Debbie and my daughter here last night when we came to Saturday night church because the pastor said to be here. But anyway, when I met the Williams, we just had that kindred spirit. Felt like we've known them all our life. Just that kind of family attachment. Amen? Even though we're from Michigan, it's okay. It's okay. Well, I might as well kick this off with a little humor, I don't know. It might be very little humor. I don't know. But I have four daughters and three boys, two of which of my children have auburn hair and brown eyes. And all the rest are my blonde and blue-eyed. And so my blonde youngest daughter, Hannah, she'd pull up her little stool to the counter at the kitchen. She'd read me off and list off some blonde jokes. So one in particular comes to mind. There's this blonde that walks into a curtain store. She says, "I'd like to buy some curtains." And this young man said, "Well, yes, ma'am. What kind of color would you like?" She said, "I'd like some pink curtains." "Pink curtains. We have pink curtains. What size would you like?" "15 inches. She says, "Well, that's a little small." She says, "Well, I want 15-inch pink curtains." And the young man says, "Well, can I ask what they're for?" She says, "For my computer." And he thought for a moment. He says, "Well, that's kind of strange. Why in the world would you want 15-inch curtains for your computer?" She says, "Hello, Windows." How many can believe with me that it's up from here? All right? Hallelujah. Praise God. That reminds me of another one, but I'll tell that one later. Praise you, Jesus. Ephesians chapter 4. I want to talk about how to relate to your pastor. Hallelujah. How about four of you? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, there's a little bit more. Hallelujah. Come on, everybody. I don't want to be talking about how to relate to Reverend Mike Williams. I want to be talking about how to relate to your pastor, the office of pastor. Are you listening to me? Ephesians 4, please, verse 8, very familiar scripture. It says, "Therefore he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men." So number one, I'm going to give you a list of things, and you get the tape or the CD or whatever, or make a note. But it'd be good for you all to get a hold of these truths, because I'll tell you why. It's not because you're not doing it. It might be because you are doing it, but there's a whole bunch of people coming in that might not know this. And you can take it and run with it and help them relate to your pastor the right way. You can minimize strife, kill any kind of sedition or undercurrent. You can just really really stop espionage and sabotage and everything else the devil has always tried to do to the church ever since it started. And you can help people be Christians. Amen. Back in the late 80s, the Lord told me one of the greatest signs and wonders of the last days, besides the great harvest of souls, and besides creative miracles and arms where there were no arms and legs where there were no legs and eyes where there were no eyes and so on, he said it would be a stable Christian. One that read their word, read his word every day, had a passion for him, amen, prayed, worshiped him, brought their tithes and offerings, won souls and made disciples. You know, the elementary things that every Christian should be doing, the basic 101 things, would be a great sign and wonder, a stable Christian. I thought, this has got to be so simple, no one's going to want to believe that. I mean, can you believe that the Lord would say something so simple? And then I found out there's a scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 35, the last part of that verse, it says, serve the Lord without distraction. And so we need to be stabilized in these last times. So this is a message that might help stabilize you or rehearse stuff you already know, or maybe repair some cracks in your foundation, or maybe just kind of prevent any kind of a BA degree. That's bad attitude. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so everybody say, I must receive my pastor as a gift. Say, look to Reverend Williams right now and say, I receive you, Pastor, as a gift from God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, some of you might grit your teeth. That's okay. You know, on that day, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, whether they like it or not. But you know what? You to receive your pastor is a choice. God won't make you say that. It's got to come out of your heart. It's got to come out of your obedience and fear of God and love and reverence for the Word of God. In Ephesians 4:11, let's skip down because of time here. And he himself, everybody say Jesus himself, gave some. Everybody say some. So we know that not all our chiefs here, not everybody are chiefs, right? You have chiefs, you have followers, you have leaders, you have followers. And you can't be a good leader unless you're a good follower. And so every leader was a follower. And really, all leaders are still followers. I mean, there's, you know, authority is like a sandwich. There's always somebody below you, but there's always somebody above you. Amen. And, you know, you men of God, you know, bark at your kids and say, well, don't do as I do, just do as I say. Just doesn't work. I mean, you know what I'm saying? So you got to be submitted to Jesus. You can't give what you don't have. If you're not under authority, you can't give it. Amen. So anyway, verse 11 says, he himself gave some apostles, some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And I don't know if you're the church of the fourfold or the fivefold, but I'll take any fold Jesus has. Amen. Amen. So I believe that God gave some who he gave some. It didn't say he gave everybody. So Ephesians 4:8 says he gave gifts unto men. Everybody say pastor is a gift. So we must receive him as a gift. And then it also says in verse 11 that he gave some. It didn't say everybody. Everybody's not a pastor. Everybody's not an apostle. Today we got them all running around, T-shirt apostles, T-shirt, you know, prophets, and so on. And, you know, you get these kids out of seminary, and they're barely 20 years old, and they say, I'm a father of many. I just say, oh, well, potentially you are, you know. And so, all right, verse 12. You don't want to blow the balloon too much, you know. Some of them are legend in their own mind. You know, they graduate from legendary school. All right, Ephesians 4:12. And it says, and for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, or to do the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So we all know this. You've heard it before. It's been a zillion times taught to you. But he gave these gifts to who? To the church. The Bible says here, for the equipping of the saints to edify the body of Christ, the work of the ministry. So everybody say this with me. Jesus gave these gifts, but I must receive them. All right? Praise God. Now, a bad attitude that's really been prevalent in a lot of churches is we don't get too excited about the office of a pastor. There's this familiarity. There's this religiosity that's out there that says, well, you know, if we don't like him, we'll just vote in another one. They're a dime a dozen. And how many know that's dangerous? That's really dangerous. Billy Graham was asked one time if he'd consider the presidency of the United States, to run for the presidency of the United States in his prime, of his prime, you know, in his ministry. And he said, I would have to rescind. I would have to come down a notch to be a president. One of the highest callings in the whole world is the calling of the fivefold ministry. Isn't that right? And the pastor of those five, I believe, are the only is the only one that has two families, his personal family and, of course, you all. He's stuck with you. Hallelujah. There is no perfect church. You have to die to get there. It's in heaven. So the minute you come, the minute I come, it doesn't become perfect anymore. Isn't that right? Well, the minute you come, I mean, you know, let's get it right here. All right. So if we don't like them, we'll just call another one. But the best attitude we should probably portray our pastor and how to receive him is kind of illustrated by Christmas time. Christmas time in our culture, you know, the gifts around the tree and the kids, you know, they go up to them and they're counting them and they're looking to see whose name's on them. They shake them, you know what? But that gift remains alone until somebody picks it up and unwraps it. How many know that the office of pastor remains alone until you tap into that anointing? Yeah. And come purposed in your heart on the way to church that you're going to receive something from the Holy Ghost. You should say, Holy Ghost, have your way with me tonight or this morning or whatever. Have your way. Speak through pastor. Speak through whoever you want to speak through. But speak through my pastor to get the word to me that I need to make it. Amen. In life and win. Praise God. Amen. See, we all want his presence. And the price of his presence is time. You have to be willing to spend time in God's presence. Amen. The purpose of his presence is change. God wants us to change from glory to glory. And the product of his presence is Christ's likeness. And so if we don't receive the word of God in this area, we'll never be changed and we'll never be Christ-like. We'll stay immature as we... How many want to be more mature a year from now than they are today? How about a week from now more than you are today, right? You don't want to be having the same old, praise the Lord. All right. So we can get excited about a Christmas gift. We can get excited about a birthday gift. Oh boy, got some birthday gifts. I get excited, you know. I'm so many years old, and I still get excited about birthday gifts. You know, I like the handmade ones that the kids make me. Praise the Lord. Amen. It really, really blesses me. It's gone from flour and paste to stuff, you know, that the store bought now. Anyway, but NASA has what they call a countdown. When they have a countdown for a shuttle launch, they go all through the different checks and balances, and it gets down to 10, and they hold it right there in what they call a holding pattern. And that holding pattern will remain a holding pattern until every system, every single part of the computer checklist is satisfied. And you know, there's a lot of Christians in a holding pattern because they've never received their pastor. They're still flying around trying to find themselves, and they're restless. They go from church to church to church. And they're restless, and they'll go from home Bible study to home Bible study. And they'll even eventually become, self-exalted. They'll start doing it. They think, well, I can do it better. And they have this problem with not receiving, so they're still in a holding pattern. And the Bible says to receive them, praise the Lord. Everybody say, I receive my pastor. Hallelujah. As a gift from God. As a gift from Jesus. See, the office of Jesus is his office. It's part of himself. So when we're receiving the office of pastor, we're receiving part of Jesus, in a sense, of his anointing, obviously. Now, when you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, obviously you're saved. You have him in your heart. But, you know, you receive that anointing that helps teach and bless, what does it say, equip you and prepare you to do the work of the ministry, to edify and build the body of Christ. Number two, I want you to write down this, say this with me. Know your pastor and his wife. Hallelujah. Now, Miss Brenda might be a little nervous about that one, but, you know, oh, well, she's one with him. Right? I mean, it goes together. And so we need to understand is that know him and his wife is very, very important. 1 Thessalonians 5:12. Here's a scripture on it. It says, we beseech you, brethren, know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Know them which labor among you. Now, this man and woman of God labor. Praise God. They got better things to do with their life than waste God's time, their time, your time. They know they're called. They know they're appointed. They know they're assigned here by the Holy Ghost. You know, this church didn't cost you but a little time, sweat, and money, but it cost Jesus his blood. It's his church. All right? So know him. Know him that labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. All right? Now, some people say, well, you know, I know pastor. He's just a good old boy. Be careful about familiarity. Now, I remember this this dear friend of ours, this pastor. He became so buddy-buddy. I mean, it's good to be friendly, but so buddy-buddy that the people lost respect for the office of pastor. They forgot that he's a gift from God. Now, we're not talking about esteeming or exalting a man. We're talking about esteeming the office of pastor. Amen. And so some people say, well, we want to know our pastor, but he better not speak authoritatively to us. He better not tell us what to do. He better not give us a job assignment that I don't like or I've never done before. He better not tell me to go Saturday nights. I'm sorry, I'll leave that one alone. He better not, you know, he can talk into my life to a degree, but he better not correct me. But the Bible says that as good preachers, Paul's talking to Timothy, and he says, as a good minister, you're to warn those who are wrong. Yeah, right. Amen. To keep them out of hell. Amen. To keep them out of hell. Praise the Lord. One of the best friends you'll ever have are people that help you fix stuff that's wrong. Amen. You know, my brother, bless his heart, he came over to my mom's. My dad passed away here back in December. He went on to a place called where he's rich and famous. Amen. And so my brother and I have been helping my mom, and we drive down to Detroit every, you know, I was doing that every week, about an hour and a half drive, just helping, doing whatever. My brother came over one day, and his buttons were like, you know, off-buttoned, you know, where his collar's up here and the other collar's down here. And he runs a business. It's game room toys like neon signs and pinball machines and pool tables and stuff like that. And he's dealing with customers all day long looking like this. So he comes over in the afternoon. I said, Jeff, stop. He's talking. I said, stop. You got to fix your button. He goes, what? What are you talking about? I said, your shirt button's off. It's all like this. He said, I went all day and no one told me that. And they allowed me to be embarrassed all day. Those are your best friends. Your younger brothers. Of course, I've been doing that for my brother ever since I can remember. Jeff, you got some spaghetti sauce right here. You can always tell what he ate. Just look at his shirt, you know. But best friends are the folks that tell you there's broccoli in your teeth, you need to zip up, you need a bath. Those are your best friends. Amen? Now, pastor's not maybe going to get into your meddling that much, but he might if you need it. You know what I'm saying? But I'm telling you, some of your best friends are telling you where you're wrong or where you need help. Amen? Deceitful are the kisses of an enemy, but faithful are the wounds of a friend. Amen? Just hold still there. Know your pastor and his wife, all right? When you study him, take notes on what he is saying. Watch him in his example, and you'll begin to know him and relate to him. And respect will cause you to maintain an attitude, praise God, of receptivity. Hallelujah. Respect will cause you to maintain an attitude of receptivity. Praise God. And so everybody say, I want to know my pastor. I want to know his ways. And I want to know his heart. See, there's something about getting a hold of the heart of a pastor. What's his heart? Well, this heart, obviously, his heart has gotten on you. You gave $1 million to missions in 10 years. That's unheard of in a lot of churches. I'm telling you, that's, you're way above the average. I mean, you are the premier church. I mean, missions is what it's all about. And, you know, and that heart is, I believe, because of his connection, perhaps to Reverend John Osteen, that residual anointing is here. It just felt like Lakewood here, you know, the first Lakewood, praise the Lord, the original, you know. All right, number three. Now be nice, all right. I don't. Esteem him highly in love. Esteem him highly in love. 1 Thessalonians 5:13 continues and says, esteem him highly in love for his work's sake. Esteem him highly in love for his work's sake. It didn't say esteem him highly. It didn't say esteem him in love. It says esteem him highly, very highly, in fact, very highly in love. Not in love, not highly, not esteem, but esteem him very highly in love. All right? All right. And so some of the bad attitudes in churches, when folks, you know, get out of church, when they go to have, you know, fried chicken after church, they don't go to have fried chicken. They have fried pastor. They talk about You know, he shouldn't have said that. He was looking at me when he said that. And who told him what? And he read my mail, and I want to know who it was. And, you know, and they go into critiquing his ministry or how long it was or how many offerings were taken. Let me tell you, just thank God you get to go to church. You don't have to go. You get to. You get to bring your Bible. You get to tithe. You get to. You get to. You get to. Amen. Have a pastor. A real one. There's a lot of artificial ones out there. But there's a real one sitting here today. You know, if I came to your wife, is this your husband? And is this your wife? Good. It's always good to ask that, you know. Now, if I were to say, you know, if I were to start criticizing the way she dressed and her hairdo, something on the inside of you'd get really big Texas, right? I mean, you'd look at this Michigan boy like, you know, bread for us, you know what I mean? You get mad, you get, right? I'm going to get a whooping, right? And that's how you should feel about your pastor when somebody starts criticizing. You should, something on the inside says, you know, because I'm a Christian, I'm not going to mop up the parking lot with you, but, you know, I might lay hands on you suddenly. So we need to esteem him very highly and watch over him. We exalt Jesus, we esteem Jesus, we honor the Lord, we should honor the leaders, amen? And we don't honor him, we don't esteem him highly because of how he dresses or what he wears or where he lives or all that. You know, we esteem him highly for his work's sake, for the work's sake, praise God. The Bible says, for their work's sake, hallelujah, amen. There are times in the ministry, now we're all faith people, but there are times in the ministry, I remember Bobby Indian saying this one time. He says, there are times in the ministry that can be so lonely and so, you're so unsure of yourself and you feel like no one's with you, even though you know people are with you, but it feels like that. And I know we're not led by feelings, but it feels like that. And there are days that I'd give you the dime to give to me to quit. You know? You know, I mean, that's bad. You get feelings. We all get feelings like that. I asked a dear friend of mine, who you probably all would know if I mentioned his name. But anyway, I said, do you ever fight depression? He says, I fight it every day. I keep it off of me, but I fight it every day. Do you ever fight loneliness? Every time. I'm telling you right now, it comes to all of us, but we can choose to react or respond. How many are going to respond by the Holy Ghost and not react by the carnal flesh, right? So Jesus had responded to things by the Holy Ghost. He didn't have a reactionary lifestyle. He had a responsive lifestyle. He responded by the Holy Ghost. Amen. So watch out for familiarity. Watch out for people that don't highly esteem him in love. And remember that this familiarity, it gets on all of us. We have to watch it. It can try to get on all of us, I should say. And the familiarity is kind of illustrated in the fact that Jesus' ministry was announced, you know, Luke chapter 4. And they said, is this not the carpenter's son? They had that familiarity about them. Is this not the carpenter's son? And, you know, and you see a snapshot of a pastor, or you see a human side, or you get to know him, or you get to know his ways, or you see some human side of that, and you can get familiar real quick. So you got to keep respect. Amen. I don't care what state or what country you're from. This is an overall kingdom principle, is that the respect of the Lord is what keeps us in a position to receive from God. Now, a lot of folks are still in that holding pattern because they've lost respect for their pastor, or they've lost respect for the church, or because their expectations weren't met, or I deserve that position. Why didn't he, you know, et cetera. I mean, there's lots of reasons why people lose respect. But you have to work at it, just like marriage. You have to work at it. A marriage is a union of two forgivers. It really is. All divorce is a result somebody wasn't clothed with humility. Somebody insisted on their own way. And it's the same thing in a business relationship and in a church relationship. So we have to be clothed with humility one toward another. Honor, listen to this, honor and prefer one another, Romans chapter 12. Honor and prefer one another. Amen. You know how it was, guys, when you started dating your sweetheart? You know, you went up to the door and you knocked on the door. You brought her flowers and you opened up the car door and you helped her out of the car door. And she went to the bathroom. You got up. She came back from the bathroom. You got up. And now that you've been married, you honk the horn and waiting for her to come out with all the kids and all the baggage. And you go to the restroom. You go, order me a steak. Familiarity comes on all of us. We have to watch it. Elbow Ministries. I'll have a healing line for sides and elbows, all right? All right. Peace comes when we humble. The Bible says, it says here, esteem them very highly for their work's sake. Read the rest of it out loud. Verse 13, and be at peace among yourselves. Did you already close your Bibles? Wait a minute. Now. Oh, the holy hour's not yet. Hey. All right, everybody say, be at peace among yourselves. And so there's something that sowing love, sowing esteem and respect and honor, sowing that in love reaps a result called peace. Everybody say peace. See, you don't have issues when you have peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. What's the atmosphere of heaven? Is it gumdrops? Is it little naked babies with wings playing harps? What's heaven like? What's the predominant spirit of heaven? Well, Jesus is not the king of faith. He's not the prince of faith or the prince of love, even though he is those things. He's the prince of peace. And God wants peace in our life. He extends peace to Jerusalem like a river. How many want the river of peace flowing in every level of your life? Well, God says there's what you do, and then there's peace. So if we highly esteem them, very highly, in love, for their work's sake, you're going to have peace among yourselves. You're not going to be at war with your ego, war with your unfulfilled expectations, war with insecurities, war with, identity complexes. It's in Him we live. Everybody say this. In Him I live and move and have my being. The word being implies identity, security, and sufficiency. So if you're secure in the Lord, you can be generous with your love. The more secure a person is in Christ, the more generous they are with their time, talent, and treasure and their compliments. Amen. Well, moving right along. Number four, pray for him. Say, I'll pray for you, Pastor. Amen. Praise God. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. And so when Miss Brenda said, pray for Pastor and I, for wisdom, for the decisions we have to make about Saturday night. Did y'all hear that? That was a prayer request from your pastor's wife. And I hope y'all wrote that down or at least took it to heart. But when they say, pray for us, you should take it to heart and make time to pray at the supper table or before family goes to bed or whatever. You should just say, let's pray for Pastor. They asked us to pray. Isn't that something? So pray for him. He needs your prayer. Just because he stands up here being the mighty man of faith and being the mighty man of God that he is, and he gets that from his relationship with the Lord, doesn't mean he doesn't need prayer. Even the great Apostle Paul asked for prayer to be delivered from wicked and unreasonable men. Isn't that something? And so he goes on and he says, in 1 Thessalonians 3, I'll try to get this out as quickly as I can, y'all, so pray for me. I am asking you to pray right now. And he sent Timothy, our brother, minister of the God, and for fellow labor in the gospel, to establish you, encourage you concerning your faith, that no one should be shaken by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. I mean, these are labors in the gospel. They need prayers. They are dealing with labor. They are dealing with spirits. They are dealing with vision. They're dealing with angels. They're dealing with people, and they need prayer. That the word of God would have free course, that God would be glorified and be glorified in your church. When we pray, just 15 seconds a day, if every one of you prayed 15 seconds a day for your pastor times all these people, that's a lot of prayer. In fact, Pastor, come on up here. Miss Brenda, come on up here. The rest of you stand up. Let's just do a little exercise. You all right?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm trying to work up an appetite. I know you're probably not hungry yet, but... All right, stretch your hands out toward Pastor. We're going to pray for 15 seconds in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Pray in the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, Father, that no evil shall befall them, neither any plague come nigh their dwelling. They're blessed in the city, blessed in the field, coming in and going out. We call them the head, not the tail, above only, not beneath. And we receive our pastors as gifts from God. We thank you that they're called, anointed, and appointed for such a time as this. They're called in the kingdom for such a time as this to reach the lost and comfort the brethren and to further the word of God. We thank you and receive them as pastors and as gifts in Jesus' name. Bless them good. Give them wisdom. Amen. That took 20 seconds. Hallelujah. How'd that feel? Felt pretty good, didn't it? Go ahead and be seated. Praise God. It felt pretty good. All right. It affects the word of God and the way he preaches. You'll find out sometimes, you know, pastors sometimes have, I don't know if you don't have to answer this, pastor, but ever come here by faith to preach by faith? And you don't feel like being here. It's kind of like the story, like, get up, son, it's time to go to church. And he says, I don't want to get up. Get up, son, time to go to church. I don't want to get up, mama. Get up, son, you're the pastor. You know, like, you heard that story. We all have those feelings like, oh, wouldn't it be good to sleep in today? Praise God. But pastor doesn't come to church because he's the pastor. He comes to church because he's a Christian. Jesus went to church or the synagogue first day of the week, so we're not above our master, so we should too. In fact, we should come to church every time pastor says the door should be open. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And if you can't make it because you're attending your own funeral, then just call ahead. Anyway, so how many are going to pray for pastor? How many really will? How many will actually make an agreement and covenant with God and with pastor and with Brother Moore here today that you'll pray for pastor and Miss Brenda and their family and this church 15 seconds a day? Can y'all have 15 seconds? Look around, pastor. Look at all those hands, man. Isn't that cool? Got some things going. That'll take you to a whole new level. Praise the Lord. Next 25 years is going to be awesome. Amen. You know, I believe in the 120, you know, promise to live 120. I told our man, you know, Bible preaches and teaches us 70 years by promise, 80 years by strength, and 120 by covenant, and midlife is 60 years old. That's right. No more Geritol for you, brother. You got the revelation. But some of our men got a hold of that, the guys that they're about to put out the pasture and retire, and they got their second win. They said, that's a reality to me. I'm just hitting midlife. Hallelujah. We got a couple guys that are 5 years over midlife now. They're 65. And they're like spring chickens, man. And their wives are going, thanks, pastor. Appreciate it. Number five. This is not a marriage seminar. I got to watch this. This is not. Debbie and I can do that too, but we're not going to do that today. All right. Kind of squirts out of me, you know. Do y'all know what a home anointing is? Home anointing is the anointing that's at home. It's what you brought to church today. Oh, boy. Whatever spirit's at home, honey, is what comes to church with you. Maybe I ought to just shift gears and go right into that marriage seminar right now. Fighting and cussing at each other on the way to church, and you can come in and go, good morning, pastor, hallelujah. Yeah, right. And all the kids go, what a bunch of hypocrites, man. Amen. Number five, communicate with him. Galatians 6:6, please, if you'll just be quick with me. 6:6. Y'all getting something out of this today? Let him who has taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. The Amplified says, let him who receives instruction in the word of God share all good things with his teacher, contributing to his support. And so communicating with him is not just the tithe. The tithe is the first fruits, or, you know, we can actually, there's two kinds of teachings on that. First fruits is separate from the tithe, which that's a John Avezini thing, and y'all can get John Avezini to straighten that out. But anyway, it's not just giving him the tithe, and the tithe is holy unto the Lord. The tithe, scripturally, the tithe was used to support the Levitical priesthood, and then the offerings were to maintain the temple or build buildings, right? That's the ideal situation. Most churches just lump it all together and try to make ends meet. You know what I'm saying? But it really should be the tithe goes to support the pastor and the staff or the ministerial staff or whatever he chooses his ministerial staff. And then, of course, the offerings would support the maintenance or the building of buildings and so on. And that's expected. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 5 talks about that and so on. But when we look at the word communicate, it means contributing to his support. And it also means to share all good things with his teacher. And so all good things isn't just money either. It's the ability to say, thank you, Pastor, for that word. Some of the best ways you can communicate with your pastor or, you know, be a blessing is to show up in church. That one of the best ways to bless your pastor is to be here in spirit, too. Well, I'd love to be with you, Pastor, but I'm with you in spirit. And I just say, be careful not to send any spirits this morning here this morning. It's like somebody says, well, you know, I'd love to be there, but I can't, you know, but I'll just get the tape. Well, you don't have to go to heaven, just get the video, you know. It's that Terry Meisen on him, I'm telling you, you know. We're on each other's board, so it just, but I'm a little bit more merciful. He just says, kill them all, let God sort them out. I said, well, at least preach to them first, you know. That's mercy gift. Preach to them first, please. Don't shoot Terry, don't. Two words many times cause people to grit their teeth about communicating with their pastor, and that's the word work and money. And so when, you know, most quarrels and hurts and splits happen because pastor asks, work, we're going to have a work day. And they communicate all right, they just don't show up, you know. But best way to communicate when he asks for work or asks for your support is to support it with your work and with your money. Amen? I mean, think about what money is. It's like a shovel. It's just a tool. Isn't that right? It's just a tool. And it gets you to where you need to be. Money is for two reasons. To establish a value and a means of exchange. Otherwise, if it takes on a personality, then it becomes carnal and satanic. The love of money is the root of all evil. So, you know, praise God, I get to work. One of my elders told me this. He said, this back in the 80s, he's still with us. We've got guys who have been with us for 25 years. That's pretty stable, isn't it? We've never had a church split. We've had people come and go. Like John Osteen used to say, it's like driving a bus. Some people get on, some people get off. But you just keep driving the bus, Pastor. But I told our people, I said, well, I'm going to keep driving the bus, but I'm putting the pedal to the metal, and you better strap up your seat belt because we're going places. Hallelujah. You're not going to want to get off. Hallelujah. But many times we communicate by our absenteeism or by our attendance. So the Bible says to communicate in all good things. So the best way you can communicate you're with them is to show up. And if you can't, you know, communicate with them why you can't. You know, because you have to work or some reasonable reason, because your mother won't let you or your wife won't let you or something. But anyway, you need to get that down in your heart. Where your treasure is where your heart is also. So if you give of your time and of your sweat and of your money into this church, how many know your heart's going to be with it, right? All right. So here's some ideas of how to communicate as we close here in the next couple of minutes here. I've got 700 more pages to go. Number one, some ways you can communicate. Here's some ideas. I won't even give them a 1 or a 10. I'll just give them to you. Show your appreciation of them. Show your appreciation of the message, the service. Send thank yous, thank you notes, thank you cards, gifts of appreciation. Don't forget their anniversary. The birthday is Christmas. Pastor's Appreciation Month is October, every day of the month, by the way. I just want you to know. My birthday is a national holiday, by the way. Do you know that? Would you all write this down? February 12th, that's my birthday. Thank you. Abraham Lincoln was born on my birthday. Pastor Appreciation Month, first half of October. Pentecostal handshake where you have cash and just say, hey, praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Don't give them half of a $100 bill and say, well, you know, preach good like last Sunday, I'll give you the other half. Don't be doing that. Don't be doing that. He does not have a price. Amen? He cannot compromise. Amen? Get used to expressing your love. Remember, the more secure you are in Christ, the more generous you are with your thank yous. Now, I'm writing a book called The Power of Thank You, and someday, hopefully, you'll get that. But the power of thank you is amazing. Jesus said, it's recorded in the Bible, New Testament, that Jesus said thank you at least 3 times. So saying thank you is the language. How many know Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Amen. So he's royalty. So saying thank you is the language of royalty. It's the simplicity of saying thank you expresses the sincerity of its intent. In other words, when you say thank you. Pastor, what happens? What would happen if somebody gave you $1,000? What would you say?
Thank you.
What would happen if somebody gave you $1,000,000?
Hallelujah.
You'd say hallelujah and then thank you. Thank you is the equalizer to the gift, saying thank you. And today we got waiters and waitresses that say no problem. Everything's no problem. How many today? We have in our family, 15. No problem. Can we have some water? No problem. Coffee? No problem. Can we have a menu? No problem. Oh my goodness, that's amazing that people work in places like that and only know two words. They don't want to say thank you or yes ma'am or yes sir. I like it down here. People treat you with respect down here. Up north, we're not all bad Yankees. Some are good. Some are all right. I'm one of them. Miss Debbie might be another. Number six, follow him. Follow him. Here we go, folks. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. I got a question for you. Has your pastor and Miss Brenda been operating in faith?
Yeah.
And how about patience?
Yeah.
Whole bunch of it? Yeah. I'd say 25 years sticking with you all, they have to have faith and patience.
Amen.
And you sticking with them, they have to have faith and patience. How many know to work together as a congregation and leadership, it takes faith and patience?
Yeah.
It sure does. Yeah. Hallelujah. I'm just amazed. I mean, people that know me at home church, I'm just amazed. I just think, I'm going to say, y'all, I'm just blessed that you guys, man, I'm just so humble that you've been with us this long. I mean, you've been through the battles with us and all that. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9, those things Paul said both that you both learned and received, from me and heard and seen in me, both learned, received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace be with you. So when you learn from pastor, receive, hear, and see in him, that's a form of following. And so when you're hearing what he's saying, you take notes. If you're not taking notes, there's some way to record it with your MP3s, or your iPods, or your recorders, or your CDs, or DVDs, or even taking notes. If you're not writing or recording something down, you're only going to retain about 7 to 10% of what he said. If I asked you what he preached last Sunday, could you give me the title? Could you give me a scripture reference? And if you can't, then perhaps you need to adjust that and fix that and fine-tune that and say, I need to rehearse some things. Because the last thing you want to do is just keep coming and coming and coming without a clue of what you're learning.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Right?
It's like you walk in a store and I've said to my wife, I said, why are we here? I don't know. Men are hunters. We want to get to the rack and back. You know what I'm saying? All right. Moses had his Joshua, talking about following him. Moses had his Joshua. Elijah had his Elisha. Jonathan had his armor bearer. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
And Jonathan's armor bearer, by the way, is the spirit I want in all of our ministry of helps and all of our people. Whatever is in your heart, pastor, you go ahead and do it. My heart's with you, man. How many have that heart with pastor? Whatever's in your heart, I'll do it. We'll do it, man. We're going to get this done. How many believe that building is done and paid for? And all future buildings and missions and projects and visions are done and paid for. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. So stand with pastor that he'll be anointed and follow him so he can, he can lead without grief but with joy. And the Bible talks a lot about that in Hebrews chapter, the last chapter of Hebrews in verse 17, I believe it is. Obey those who have the, in fact, we'll look at this just now. Last point, 7. You doing all right?
Yes.
We're over time right now, but how many have grace? How many have mercy? All right. How many have forgiveness now? All right. Obey his teachings. Number 7, obey his teachings. Everybody say follow him and obey his teachings. All right. So Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Is that in the New Testament? Thank you. That's just a joke. This is the scripture that proves that men should make coffee. Hebrews. Y'all awake? All those who are asleep, say amen. Praise the Lord. You taught them well. Verse 17. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. This man and this woman of God are going to stand before the head of the church, the Lord Jesus, and give an account for you. Was he a people pleaser? They do everything you want him to do just to make you happy so that you would stay and become a politician? Or did he stand flat footed and declare the word of God without compromise to bless you whether it pleased you or not? Amen. So that's the kind of account he's got to give. And so the best thing to do is obey. All right? You can't just go to church. You have to believe that your pastor is your pastor. Amen. Make a stand before God. Amen. And be submitted to him and receive his teachings and receive the anointing on his life and receive him as a gift from Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, and obey. Let me just say this about obeying your pastor. It's very similar to a family situation. You know, when we were spanking, when they were young enough to spank. In fact, they got to that place where they asked us to spank them instead of taking away their cell phone. Just get it over with. Don't take the cell phone. Just whoop me. You know? But I'd go to spank them and I'd say, you know, I don't want to spank you. Didn't wake up thinking about spanking. You didn't sing spanking songs. But you said, please spank me. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. I said, if you do this, you're going to get spanked. And did you do that? Yes, I did. I said, then you're the one that asked for a spanking. No, I didn't. Yes, you asked for a spanking. I don't want to spank you. How many know there are consequences to disobeying God? And so you'll gravitate to a harder teacher if you don't obey the word of God and obey the pastor. Now, Paul did say this. Now, we know the two Jimmies back in the 80s that fell. And a lot of Christians backslid because of that. Unfortunately, their foundation wasn't Jesus Christ. It was personalities. But Paul said this, follow me as I follow Christ. So if this is a good pastor. So if he's any kind of a pastor, and he is, he's going to tell you, follow me as I follow Jesus. Isn't that right? So obey pastor's voice over any other human voice. If you're listening to another human voice over your pastor, then you're already in trouble. Now, I mean, there's some good stuff on Christian television, folks, but those are supplements. I said those are supplements to your pastor. They're not. Don't say, pastor, I wish you could preach what Joyce Meyer's preaching. I mean, she's the latest hot thing since sliced bread. And boy, pastor, if you taught like Joyce Meyer, like Kenny Copeland, listen, watch out for that. You're already in trouble because Brother Kenny, as sweet as he is not going to bury or marry you or sit down and have coffee with you, but your pastor will. He's in the trenches with you every day, folks. Come on, let's get real about this, all right? So just remember to receive him over any other human voice. If you can get excited about coming to church like you would go to a Benny Hinn seminar or some big seminar, a big concert, a big Christian celebrity that you like, if you go to church with that expectancy and that desire and that hunger and thirst and passion, you're going to find your pastor preaching a whole new different way, man, stronger, more anointed. Hallelujah. When you put a pole on him, praise God, he's going to squirt and splash all over you. Amen, with the anointing of God. So heed God's word through your pastor. And remember, he's not a mediator. Jesus is the mediator between God and man. He's God's delegated office, which he has factored in an anointing and equipping to bless you so that you can be all that you're supposed to be and obtain your destiny and purpose. Amen? Amen. So let's review real quick. Everybody say, receive your pastor. I receive my pastor as a gift. Number two, I must know my pastor and his wife. Number three, I esteem my pastor very highly in love. Number four, I will pray for my pastor and his family. And I will communicate. Number five, I will communicate to my pastor. And number six, I'll follow my pastor. And I will obey my pastor's teachings. Hallelujah. Now, would you just pray with me here in a moment, and we'll ask God to speak to our hearts about some things. As I was talking about Jonathan and his armor bearer, they were in a place between a rock and a hard place, literally. And Jonathan said, all right, here's the vision. There are a lot of them. There's a bunch of them. There's a lot of the enemy out there. The obstacles are humongous. But here's the plan. We're going to go up and take them. God's able to save by many or by few. And that armor bearer didn't even think twice. His instant response, listen to that, what squirted out of him in the face of great obstacles said, I'm with you. He didn't think about it. He didn't. The armor bearer didn't go get a consensus of the people. Come on. Didn't get, go get a vote. He just said, I'm with you. Which means, listen, you got to be with your pastor whether people are not. You got to be with your pastor whoever does or doesn't. Isn't that right? It's all about you and God and your pastor. It's not about who, well, I will if you will. It's like that couple we led to the Lord in our lobby of our church. And I said to the husband, I says, you want, I said to the husband and wife, I says, you want to receive Jesus? And she looked at him. She says, well, I will if you will. Like, are you going to go to hell if he won't? You know, I mean, you're going to go to hell if he doesn't? I mean, it's about you and God and your pastor. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these who have come today, and I thank you for this great church, this great pastor, this great body of believers. Great grace is upon it. The anointing is great. Lord, there's nothing I can smell that's off color or wrong. It's just a pure, clear field, a fruitful field, a bear forth a hundredfold. I know that for a fact. This is going to a whole new level, this church. Father, I'm looking at, Lord, a remnant of that which you're about to bring in from the north, south, east, and west. Praise God. But Lord, we just bend the knee of our heart. We just say, God, help me to receive my pastor. Help me to communicate with him. Help me to do these things I've heard today in the name of the Lord Jesus. Help me to be the kind of Christian that, Lord, you want me to be. Help me to be the kind of believer that makes a difference. Lord, we thank you that we can work as a team. Pastor and I working together to achieve the impossible. So that you get all the glory. Now let's stand to our feet. How many are ready to make a proclamation? Gave you a little introduction. Say this with me. I am a team with God Almighty and with my pastor and his family and with this body of believers to do the impossible, to do what God's called us to do. With man, it is impossible. But with God, nothing is impossible. And so, Lord, we relate to our pastor and receive this man of God as a gift, as an office of Jesus. So, Lord, thank you for a fresh anointing. Thank you for a fresh spark, a fresh fire to burn all the things that don't belong and to cause all that is to remain to bring us further and upward. In Jesus' mighty name. We're the healed of the Lord. We're the blessed of the Lord. We are where we're at today because our pastor heard from you. And we're excited about our next 25 years, a whole new level of going and blowing for Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you for the glory of God. Lift up your hands, everybody. The glory is in the house. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands and praise him for the glory. Thank you, Jesus. I speak peace to your family. I speak peace to your marriage. I speak peace to your finances. I speak peace to your body. I speak peace to your businesses. I speak peace to you because you've received your pastor in the name of Jesus. Amen. Give God a praise. Amen.